Sisters and brothers in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I bring you greetings from the Northwest Minnesota Synod of the ELCA and the friends and members of Zion Evangelical Lutheran Church on Franklin Lake in rural Pelican Rapids, my internship congregation. And of course, I had this little chance to play the other side of the coin and thanking them on your behalf for hosting me for my internship. So now I'm going to flip the other side and thank you for sending me to them, type of thing. So, life is a journey. 3 weeks ago, I gave my final sermon at my internship congregation. And I sort of wrapped it in this idea of journey, and being as I didn't actually do that sermon here, I figured I can do a somewhat similar sermon this week, because you haven't heard the last one. Of course, it won't quite be entirely the same, but this idea of journeying keeps popping into my head whenever I'm thinking about this path that we are on in this life. And, of course, it doesn't hurt that I keep physically bouncing back and forth between Honolulu and Minnesota, coming to Honolulu and Hawaii to go to grad school at UH and finding myself here at LCH. And then some 4 years ago or so, starting to feel this call towards seminary, leaving 3 years ago from here to Minnesota to go to seminary, coming back the following summer to do my hospital internship at Queens, going back to Minnesota for my middler year, coming back here last summer to visit, going back to Minnesota for my internship, and now here I am again. Right? Journeys. It would be hard for me, sometimes I think, to not get this idea of journey in my head. But it's not only the physical journeys that we make going from one place to another. Those do certainly help and sometimes, you know, push us in some direction. But it is also a journey in and through the self, a journey inside yourself to start to figure things out, to learn about understanding, and a journey of studying, and a journey of, you know, learning about what it is that gathers us all here together. I suppose that actually would be a good answer for my question to the kids about how do we see the Holy Spirit? Not as something that's making some noise back over there somewhere, but that thing that gathers us together as the church here at LCH, at the church throughout the world. It is indeed a journey. And it is a journey that I will forever consider connected back to my ohana here at LCH. But it is a journey that continues to push me, and it continues to push each and every one of us in our own little ways onto something different, onto something new, into a new part of life. And it also seems especially fitting to talk about this idea of journey on this Sunday when we celebrate Mary, the mother of our Lord. Definitely someone who had plenty of journeys in her life, some of them physical, going from place to place. Her journey to Bethlehem to bear the child Jesus. Her journey to Jerusalem, if we follow Luke's text. Her journey to Egypt, if we follow Matthew's text. And finally, her journey to Jerusalem, leading to the cross. She had plenty of physical journeys in her life. But these physical journeys dwarf that journey that she made when, as a young girl, some 12 or 13 years old, this angel comes to her and tells her, "You know what, Mary? You are going to bear a child. You shall name this child Jesus, and he shall be the Son of God. He shall be Emmanuel, God with us." This was the beginning of this journey for this young Jewish girl. And you know what? The text doesn't actually say it, but I would be surprised. Well, if an angel came to me and said that, I would be either totally type of thing, or else end up falling down in laughter at the seeming ridiculousness of the whole thing. So it wouldn't surprise me if she would do that. You have got to be kidding me, God. Me? Really? How in the world did you ever pick me out of all of these things, out of all these people that could be chosen? Why me? That led her on a journey. A journey not so much as the move from Galilee down to Bethlehem. A move rather in actually going beyond the idea of laughing at the total ridiculousness of this joke. Or at least something that could have seemed like a joke on me. But no, she didn't necessarily laugh. And eventually, she turned around, just like Abraham and Sarah. There was another pair of people who God came to in just as much ridiculous circumstances. You know, Abraham and Sarah, his wife, were both well in their 90s when God said, "Abraham, you and your wife Sarah are going to have a son. And you are going to become the father of many nations. And through you, the nations of the world will be blessed. And you will have descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky or the sand on the shore." They both did laugh. But eventually they accepted the promise that God had made. And Sarah bore Isaac. Mary, too, got to this point and said, "My soul rejoices in God, my Savior. My soul rejoices in God, my Savior." That was her response. Not, "No, God, I can't. It would be too hard, too difficult. It would make everyone reject me. It would make my family, my friends, my whole community turn me into an outcast." It would have, you know, her being an unwed mother. But she said, "Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, my soul rejoices in God, my Savior." She believed. She trusted in this promise. The promise that God made to Abraham and his descendants. It's not just Mary. That is you and I gathered here today. This promise spoken through the prophets. Isaiah records God speaking, "I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and the whole world will know that these are people blessed by God." And then again in Jeremiah, "You shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will forgive your iniquity and remember your sins no more." This is indeed the promise that Mary trusted in. Last week, Pastor Jeff asked the kids, in addition to finding all the trees and promising that they'd eventually find all the crosses, asked the kids in the children's sermon last week, what is faith? How would you define faith? Well, this Sunday, we lift up a great example of that faith. Mary, the mother of our Lord. An example because she indeed trusted in the promise. In the promise that she was part of the chosen people. In the promise that God would forgive her sins and remember her iniquities no more. My friends, we too are gathered here today because we trust in this promise. We trust in the promise as we join together around the table, around the bread and the wine given and shed for you for the remission of sin. This indeed is the promise. The promise that we are God's people, and God is our God, a God who truly does forgive our sins and remember our iniquities no more. Let us pray. Gracious and compassionate God, we live life on many journeys. Journeys taking us from place to place. Journeys taking us deep within ourselves. Journeys that help us to understand what it is like to live and how to live. We ask that you be with us and to continue to bestow upon us this gift of faith that enables us to trust in your promises, no matter how much we may eventually want to laugh. We ask that you be with us and to guide us and to continue to give us examples like Mary, who trusted in your promises. Promises made through Christ, who makes us indeed one and adopted children of God. Amen.